Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hi, all, and welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show on this wonderful and cold and windy March 17th, 2004 evening. At least it's cold and windy here in eastern Pennsylvania. If you happen to live in Lake Florida or Texas, I'm sure you're, you know, out basking in the sun or some such thing like that. Anyway, before we get started, we'd like to play you a quick promo and give you time to connect to our Tech Show chat. You make sure you're going to do that when you're listening. Connect in, use your favorite IRC client, point it to our server, which is the linuxlink.net, and join us on channel Pound Tech Show. We'll see you in just a moment. Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product. Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have. And perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there. Yes, indeedy, that's Sound Effects by Dan. And hi again, this is Link on the Linux Link Tech Show, and of course we're accompanied tonight by our other hosts, Dan and Alan. Hi, guys.
Hello, all.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone.
Yes, it's St. Patrick's Day, which is really cool. It's probably why we don't see a whole lot of activity going on our IRC today, and
I think everyone's out drinking.
Listening to our stream, yeah, everybody's out partying down, hitting that green beer and the corned beef and cabbage. Boy, I wish I had some. Anyway, you know, for those of you who did join, and for those of you who are going to be listening later, we got a fantastic show for you tonight, as always. Not entirely sure what kind of subjects we have going on yet, but by golly, there'll be something good going on. And, you know, with that, let's just jump right into it. Anybody have any wonderful news or observances they would like to share today?
Yeah, actually I would, but I'll let Alan go first.
Ooh. Just putting Alan on the spot. Here we go.
The latest worm to come out, or virus or worm, it's actually using peer-to-peer networking now. And I'm trying to remember the name of it here, and I have the article here, and unfortunately, I don't have the name of it.
FatBot. But yes. Aren't there two of them going on right now?
Are there two of them? I just saw this just earlier. I just found this one.
Two of them going on right now, and I know, like, boy, it seems like everybody, those unfortunate
people who run Windows.
Those unfortunate Windows users are really, really getting hammered hard by this thing, I see. And I have seen it on, I'm a member of several, like, Unix mailing lists. I have seen it come through even on some of the Unix mailing lists. Of course, not from anybody who was actually on the list. But this is one of those deals where, like, if somebody has your, you know, your address in their in their address book or something like that, and they get infected, it takes addresses out of the address book and spoofs them.
Spoofs them all out.
Sends them out all over, you know, Willy Wonky. And, boy, there have been a lot of people having troubles with this one. A few people on my work network, I've seen emails going around, you know, like, don't open any attachments kind of thing.
Well, according to this one here, it's this site is lurhq.com and /fatbot.html mm-hmm. on it. It has a pretty extensive list of commands that it can do of different things.
It's just that one that's doing the back door.
Yes, it's a back door one.
Oh.
I guess it'll allows everyone to spam through and all the other neat goodies that the latest round of Windows viruses are doing
to you. Isn't that a happy thing? Run a Windows server and, by golly, just let everybody, send mail from your computer.
The feature list. It has the ability to polymorph on an install to attempt to evade antivirus's signatures as it spreads from system to system. Checks to see if it is allowed to send email to AOL for spamming purposes. Can steal Windows product keys. Starts an FTP server to deliver the Trojan binary to exploited hosts. Can run a SOX HTTP or HTTPS proxy on demand. Can use a whole bunch of different exploits, such as MyDoom backdoor, Dameware. I haven't even heard of that one there. Attempts to kill other versions of worms. So if it finds MS Blast or so big, it actually kills those, so it can be the only one running.
Cool.
It's got a lot of things.
Cool. It just amazes me, like, some of the crap that goes through. And and Microsoft is still, like, sitting up there on the podium going, no.
We're trusted.
Yes, we're trusted, and, it's Unix that you have to worry about the viruses. I have actually seen reports from Microsoft, you see the little letters that they send around, and I've actually seen them trying to say that you get more viruses on Red Hat, for instance, than you do on Windows, which, is absolutely and utterly preposterous. But
I don't know how you get more viruses on. I know it does usually run more things by default. There's usually servers and stuff, like send mail and stuff.
No, they've done some kind of, how they do, they use the Microsoft math.
To buy a report?
Yeah, they use the Microsoft math, and they got somebody to use Microsoft math on adding up, like, how many exploits, I guess, were known to whatever. And I saw a report where they said that there were more viruses, or I guess they're counting exploits in this case, but more viruses for, like Red Hat Enterprise Edition or whatever it was than Microsoft, which I thought was really humorous.
Now, does that take into consideration the entire Red Hat distribution, including the extra software, or just the Linux kernel?
I would say it takes into case the entire distribution, because I mean they had to pull those numbers out of somewhere. You know what I mean? I thought it was pretty preposterous. But,
what are you going to do?
It's Windows. Don't use it. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, right.
Learn there are other operating systems in the world.
Right. Exactly. Which is like, I've been thinking seriously lately about that. And I really would like some feedback on this. I've been thinking seriously lately about writing a book on, using Linux /BSD/whatever, whatever, anything but, a kind of a Unix-y sort of thing, exclusively as opposed to anything Windows, or using whatever to the exclusion of Windows, because that's something that I've been doing for a long, long time. I don't run any Windows at all at my house, and I don't use it at work either.
So, Windows free.
Yeah, it's just like
Windows free.
It would be nice to have maybe a little guidebook or something out there on the fact that it is possible and what sort of things you can do to become Windows free. You know, no, I understand
be,
there's
a
yeah, I understand there's a little learning curve, right? Like it's not all pointy clicky. It's getting a lot better at being pointy clicky.
Oh, it's a lot better from when I remember the first time I tried to install
when I
saw Linux and
yeah, first time I installed it, I could get I was using an early version of Red Hat, and this is years ago, man. Early version of Red Hat, I could not get X running. So like I went from the beginnings of Windows 95 to a Red Hat server with no X running, so I had to learn everything on the command line. You know what
yes.
I mean? And it was like it was a good year before I got X running on that box. Turns out I had a cruddy monitor, but before I could get X running on that box, it was like a good year. And I never knew, you know, I always see the little pictures in the magazines and stuff, the little, you know, Linux has a windowing system too. But you never really saw it. I never really saw it for like a year until after I got familiar with hacking around that command line a little bit. Anyway,
I think I killed my first install. I mean, I was using a really, really early version of Slack. I wish I could find the disk because I don't even know if it was a release one yet or not. I think it was still in the point release. But I mean, I must have dumped
out. Wasn't Slackware was what was the name back before it was like Slackware proper?
You're not thinking of Yggdrasil, are you?
Yeah.
Was that?
I
thought that was a
I
separate.
I thought Slackware was like based off of that or something. Because I remember
well,
having.
It came in a book that I had bought on how to learn something other than Microsoft because it was pissing me off even back. It was pissing me off even back then, and I must have dumped the system like four or five times before I even got a basic command line to come up, and then I couldn't even do anything past that because my system was so weird. You know, it was one of these beg, borrow, steal type systems. Mostly the latter. It was mostly the latter. But, you know, it didn't have anything that was normal in it. So like, all I could get was the command
back
line
when they
market.
Had those proprietary CD-ROM drives that ran off your sound card and crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The motherboard was actually like two pieces.
Yeah.
It was a really a weird thing.
Then, well, it brings back to mind the old Packard Bells they used to ship out, man. Packard
I had a Packard Bell. It was a Pentium 100, I think it was. It actually works pretty good. I still have it, although the CMOS battery is dead. So.
Man, oh man. I remember working on it. I used to hate working on them things. Good grief. I don't know. Anyway, Dan, we have hogged the mic out long enough, and you look quite studious over there. So I was wondering what you... had going on in that brain of yours today.
I'm just.
I see Patrick is
having frustrating problems with my airport right now, airport base station. In that, for some reason, it doesn't want to accept my wet password.
Is it an Extreme
so I have to,
base station?
Yeah.
Ah.
You know, I can no longer connect to it with Linux anymore. Or the Linuxes that I have running for some reason. But now I'm connected to it and I'm happy. So, yes. The St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And I was going to say, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, that I have found I just can't drink like I used to.
Oh, yeah.
I found that out. Friday night, went down to Jelly Beans. Got totally hammered.
And you didn't invite any of us.
Well, I went down for somebody's birthday.
Okay.
And yours, right?
No, person at work. No, I've decided not to go out for my birthday after Friday night.
Everybody, it's Dan's birthday.
That was yesterday.
Dan's birthday yesterday, but, you know, like, you weren't listening yesterday. So, in virtual reality on the air, it's Dan's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
So, happy birthday, Dan.
Well, anyway.
And later on, at the end of the show, we're going to spank him on the air.
Anyway, I got to drink a little too much, and somehow, I don't know what I did, but I got thrown out of Jelly Beans. Now, do you know where Jelly Beans is? It's on Emmaus Avenue, about two blocks off
yeah,
of
according to my wife,
Fourth
I've
Street.
Been there before, but I don't remember it myself. But I think it may have been under a different name.
Perhaps
so.
The same thing happened to you.
It's a kind of a... I don't really like the place. So then, you
not
know...
Anymore,
what is somebody who's totally inebriated do when they get thrown out of a place and they're not driving? Well, they decide to walk home. And I thought, you know, hey. And somehow I made it down about five blocks away across South 4th Street. I don't know how I crossed South 4th Street or 145. And before the person who I was supposed to drive home with came and picked me up, found me by my cell phone. And I remember getting down to that point and saying to myself, my feet are really starting to hurt. This was a bad idea. But the worst part about it is I got home, I don't know what time, it was somewhere around 1 o'clock. My wife was really cool about it the whole next day. I slept till 7 o'clock the next day, and I still felt like crap. It was like just a whole wasted day. You know, it's just like get up and mope around and throw up and then go back to bed.
But you must have been having a really kicking time to get thrown out of the bar to begin with.
I don't know what I did. I just remember coming out of the bathroom. The bouncer came up to me. I remember putting my arm around the bouncer like, you know, hey, what's going on, you know? And he said, you got to leave, buddy. I'm like, okay, let me just get my stuff. And then I left. Apparently, I paid my tab also. Because I was like, did I bring my wallet home the next day? Or was my phone? Did I actually pay the tab? You know, the money was out of my wallet. So, but you know what? I blame them because every time I turned around, they refilled my beer.
Yeah.
You're
supposed to drink a lot of water the next day. It helps rehydrate you.
Yeah, I drank a lot of water. I drank some orange juice. And I slept a whole lot.
a couple of shots also help a lot.
Yeah,
hugging the porcelain altar too, right?
For a little bit there. You know, don't eat anything the whole day. But
that's bad.
Yesterday for my birthday, the weather was horrible, but we still managed to go out. We went out to Ichiban, the new Japanese restaurant down there in Catasauqua.
Yeah, how was that?
That was really good.
Well, I've been thinking of going there.
If you like,
unfortunately, my wife keeps dragging me over to the hot dogs.
This is what I can't understand, right? He goes out, he gets screamingly drunk to the point of being ill, and then goes right out and has sushi.
That's like almost 5 days later, right?
Yeah, but that would just do it for me right there. 5 days or not, man, that'd have been it.
But it was really good. You know, for a sushi place, it's reasonably priced. Yeah. You know. But it was really good. And then we went to see Starsky and Hutch.
How was that?
I really liked Starsky and Hutch. That was really good. It was funny. It was worth seeing. Now, Ben Stiller. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he's like burning through a ton of movies this year. He was in that movie with Jennifer Aniston. Now he's in Starsky and Hutch. There's that Neighbor Envy movie that's coming out. And then Dodgeball in the Summertime. That's like 4 movies in 6 months that are coming out. With Ben Stiller. But even more so, I'm getting really excited because April is Hellboy.
And
The Punisher is in April. And somewhere, I think it's in April, maybe into May, Dawn of the Dead remake.
Dawn of the Dead comes out this Friday, dude.
This Friday?
Yes, sir.
This Friday already?
This Friday.
Oh, I'm going to have to find a day to take off or
19th.
Something. I really want to see that.
I'm pretty sure, man. Somebody Google it up and get on the... get it on the
maybe that's
the
why
IRC
I'm off,
because
the poster in the movie, the movies at the Carmike says it's, there was no release date listed on it. But
I'm pretty sure it comes out this Friday, and my wife was even saying that, you know, we should really consider going to see. I would like to go see it anyway.
In theaters, March 2004, according to the Apple.com.
Well, that would
trailer.
Be March 19th then, right?
Wow.
Oh,
that's 2 days from now, dude.
And then we got Spider-Man in the Summertime.
Yeah.
Aliens versus Predator.
You know, I have to say that I'm excited.
When there's
really,
no more room in hell, the dead will walk the
exactly.
earth.
And I really
March 19th.
I dig these the zombie movies, man. Some of them are really good. Some of them are kind of dumb, but, you know. I've been watching them since I was a kid. But the coolest thing about this one coming out this Friday is that, I don't know if like you guys have noticed, but there has been absolute crap at the movies for like 4 months now, man. Like nothing.
I don't think I've been to the movies in like a year.
No, but like, you know, even the DVD releases and stuff like that, there hasn't been anything good since Christmas, man. Maybe even before then. And it's just
drama season 3.
It's been driving me crazy, man, because there's not, you know what I mean? I'm like a video, I'm a video junkie, and I've got to be able to get my little DVDs or you know, go out to the movies if there's something good on, you know, and there just has been absolutely nothing. And you, if you combine that with the fact that, like, there's nothing on TV anymore ever, it's just a bad thing, you know. I've been burning through watching my, watching all my old DVDs and stuff, and,
That's what I started doing myself, bring the laptop to work and during lunchtime watch some DVDs.
During lunchtime. Listen to this crap, right?
No, they've purposely not given me a Sun machine with a DVD player in it yet. So.
Well, that's what you have a laptop for, man.
Yeah, but eventually I'll have a Blade system with a DVD player in it already.
Yeah.
We'll be working on getting Zine working on that one real quick.
Yeah, man. They have that out for Solaris, I think. Get that. You can do M-Player on Solaris. That's even better.
That's true, yeah.
That's even better, man.
Did you see House of the Dead yet? That Rob Zombie film?
Yes.
Was it really good? Was
no.
it good? No? Was it good?
No. None of the recent zombie kind of movies were any good. I thought they were all really, really horrible. So, but that's just my opinion, you know.
Well, what about 28 Days?
Well, no, not 28 Days. 28 Days was really good. I like 28 Days. But, like, these other ones, like House of the Dead and what, or... Yeah, it was House of the Dead. And a House of a Thousand Corpses thing.
Uh-huh.
That was just... I mean, both of those are like knockoffs. They're like really, really bad... really, really bad pop knockoffs of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's what they remind me of.
Did you see Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Not the new one. I'm waiting for that, anxiously waiting for that to come out on DVD. I'd like to see that, and I probably will buy it because I have the original, or the 70s version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre that I bought from my wife.
Such a lovely anniversary present.
Yeah, she was not, well, she wanted to see it, you know. She hasn't seen the original, and... So I said, well, you know, it's a classic, and if you haven't seen it, what I'll do is I'll buy it, and then you can watch it. And it's a good thing I did because, you know, the new ones are going to come out, and she'll have this to kind of look back on every time a new one of these movies comes out, and I say, well, oh, that reminds me of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. She can
go back and,
you know,
see why it reminds
review.
You of it.
That's right. And but the look on her face when she was watching that, man. It just, you know, and I admire the movie and all because of, you know, historically it's just been one of those getcha kind of movies. But looking at it now, from today's perspective, like, it doesn't hold much against cable.
You know what I mean?
It's so tacky. And it is. It's very tacky and really, really strange in some parts. And I didn't really... You know, I kind of tried to tell her that it wasn't exactly like she was thinking it was going to be.
It wasn't state-of-the-art when it's made. It's definitely
right.
Not now.
Right, right. It's, you know, it was a B-flick when it was made, and it is not anywhere near that now. But it's still a cult classic, you know. You got to give it that at least.
Did you see the two sequels?
No.
Chainsaw 2 and 3?
No. I probably did, but, you know.
Did you see
so long ago that I can't even remember.
And then the second remake, there was the second remake that had Renee Zellweger in it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess this is the third remake.
Oh, man.
I don't know, it hasn't been any good movies since Rocky Horror, so.
Even then, yeah. Mm.
That's all the news I had. I was listening to you guys talking about the viruses, too. And one of the things I'm trying to do is upgrade Mailman. On the lug, the Lister, the lug machine, and I'd eventually like to upgrade Qmail, but it's one of those things where everything's working,
mm-hmm.
and don't
why
really
touch it.
Yeah, why touch it? But then, you know, I put on the new Mailman and try to configure it with Qmail, and it's just not working right. And then I got to, you know, cause do backups, of course, before I do all this stuff. That's the most important thing, and then try and figure out what's going on, but. We've actually been lucky on the lug list that we haven't been hit by any of those the viruses that come through. Because I know the BC Lug.
It's because nobody's posting to the Lug list anymore, man.
Well, we get a... There was a significant amount of traffic.
There's not a postings on there.
Yeah, there has been. But the BC Lug list has been hit because somebody that's on their list... ended up in the address book of somebody else, and I guess the Lug list, BC Lug list, is in that address
book. The whole
book.
List, yeah.
And they're using Outlook, or I don't know if it's a whole list. It's just a list, and then it spoofs to the list, and the email comes from a person because it pulls like a person's address book, and it happens to be a person who's on the list.
Right.
And it goes through if you have that setting that. You know, only list members can post, but it gets through because of spoofing. Mm. And so we've been actually kind of lucky that we haven't been hit like that on our list.
We've been, the Lug list has survived many a virus, so.
Yeah, I don't think and we haven't really had any.
I recall maybe a couple that got through and some spam. We had some spam problems initially, like way, way back when we first started the Lug. Yeah.
I turned in required Lug members to post.
Yep, and that's been good.
And after that, it's really caught a lot of stuff. But now, you know, I'm trying to set up with freaking Qmail, and the documentation is really sparse. And you know, and I really like Qmail. It's been working really well. But I've always like, well, should I go to PostFix? Should I go to Axum? But it's all working, you know. Why mess? With something that's working.
If it's not broken, don't fix it, man. There are other things and other projects to do.
That's true.
I would think. But. Hey, is anybody interested in listening to some music here for an intermission kind of thing?
Maybe. Sounds good to me.
Sort of.
We'll do the A pitch for the intro.
What I did was, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I went out and found us a this Irish group has been kind enough to stick an entire couple of tracks out on a website for people to listen to. So I figured, hey, that entitles us to actually listen to it all together. The group is called Isling, A-I-S-L-I-N-G. You can find them at, you can find the link for it off of www.liveirishmusic.com. They have a bunch of links for a bunch of different groups here, and I just kind of poked into one of these. And we're going to listen to the Mug of Brown Ale set from Isling's The Dream CD, which is evidently now available. Sit back and enjoy for a couple minutes, and we'll catch back up with you in about 3:20. Thank you.
hey, Dan cutting in here. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, don't like what Alan said last time, feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there's the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal of Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux users group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
Hey everybody, we're back on the air. This is Link again at the Linux Link Tech Show this Wednesday, March 17th, 2004. And we still have all kinds of stuff to talk to you about. But what I really wanted to say real quick is an addendum to Dan's ad that you just listened to. Make sure that you check that site out, that thelinuxlink.net, because he has since been updating that page quite a bit, and it holds some new and important information. Specifically, if you are at all interested in learning Perl, there's a new group out called the ABE Perlmongers Group. That's the Allentown Bethlehem Easton Perlmongers Group. And I don't, right at this particular second, happen to have the links and the information available. However, if you do go to http://thelinuxlink.net, you will have all of that information available to you. You just follow the links around there. And there's
right,
a whole
right
bunch
on the right-hand
of,
side.
That's right. And there's a whole bunch of other really great information there, too. Make good use of the information that Dan worked so hard to provide to you, and check it out. Right,
my feel little free to hammer, hammer the server.
Dun dun, dun. Something like that.
So, Link, good question. Are you going to get your ham license now after going to the Ham Fest on Saturday?
You know, I wanted to get my ham license for a long time. I just don't know. Like, the last time I looked in again, it was really expensive, first of all. And second of all, I didn't have anybody to, like, help me with it, you know, help me learn it. And I don't have anywhere, since I live in an apartment, I don't really have anywhere that I can make use of it, you know, except for maybe one of those handsets or something like that.
Well, the handheld the VHF stuff is very convenient because basically there are so many repeaters in this area, you really don't need any huge antenna systems.
Right.
You know, basically the dummy loads on top of the HTs will work perfectly fine. It's only if you're going to do HF stuff that you would need it.
Yeah, I still would like to do that, though. It sounds like it would be fun, and it's...
Now, I know from time to time
the
DLARC Club in Lehigh Valley, Delaware Lehigh Amateur Radio Club, does hold classes. So usually like Monday nights, I think.
Right.
Now, I don't know when their next class is or if they're in the middle of one or what. But that gets you, basically, the classes, as I recall, were free, with the exception you had to buy the book that went along. It's not a real hard. I think the test is like 50 questions. Not really hard, multiple guess type things. But that got you your technician license, which got you VHF and stuff. So, and then from there you could, go and get your general or whatever else you wanted to. But so there are courses in the area. when you become interested again.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that, because that sounds like, you know, that sounds like something that would be kind of fun and technical kind of thing to do, you know.
I'm just, a lot of interesting
I'm such
though.
A procrastinator, though, you know what I mean? It's really tough. Like, I'm doing some book reviews and stuff now, which is one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight, but... You know, the problem with doing book reviews is you got to have time to read the freaking books, you know? It's just, it's something else, man. And sometimes I really think that I have myself overcommitted. But I'm still having fun here at the tech show, so, you know, what the hell.
That book that I didn't get to read the review yet, but I saw about you posting that you're reviewing it, and I guess you did review it already?
Yes.
Did you actually go out and buy that book, or did you get a review copy?
Hell no, I got review copies.
Because I know you sent the information. But wait a minute, there was one from No Starch Press.
They're ready to send. Yeah, O'Reilly's distributing it.
Oh, okay.
For No Starch, at least in part, I guess. And O'Reilly's
I'd really like to see that book too.
It's a good book, man. Bring it over for you. Check it out. It's a good book.
Now, are they sending you two more copies of that book, or
no? They just sent me one. Just
okay.
A reviewer copy. They sent me the one copy, and they sent me another one too to review. And I'm gonna do in short order, because actually I've been reading them both kind of at the same time. And I'm just about ready, you know, fixing to do the second review, and then hopefully I can get a hold of O'Reilly, and they'll be interested in sending some more stuff out. By all means, if I get a hold of them, I'll, you know, if you're interested in doing some reviews, man, I'll forward the note over to you and let you get a hold of Marcy and get some stuff going on. But, yeah, it's a really good book, man.
Now, which book is this?
The book is called, I have to go back to all my stuff. Son of a gun.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. Do
it. Do
it. The new movie, right? All right. Well, the book is called Wicked Cool Shell Scripts.
Cool.
And this book is by No Starch Press, and the author is a guy by the name of Dave Taylor. Who's written, if you look him up on the web, he's written a lot of other really good books, including, I think he wrote... Teach Yourself Unix in So Many Days or something like that.
Okay.
I forget the exact title, but I have the book at home, and it's like one of my most valuable Unix books. You know, it's one that I really spent a good deal of time learning on. And so I was kind of excited to see that he was the same author. And the book is really cool, man. Basically, like I said, the book's called Wicked Cool Shell Scripts, and its subtitle is 101 Scripts for Linux, Mac, OS X, and Unix Systems. And, man, he's not kidding. There are like 101 scripts in there. And they're not stupid little piddly things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're scripts that deal with web administration, scripts that deal with building libraries for other scripts. There are scripts that deal with... writing, you know, even cool stuff like CGI, writing CGI for your web stuff, doing different kinds of system administration, maintaining your logs and rotating them, and all kinds of stuff. And then it goes through, there's one chapter at the end specifically for scripting specifically for OS X, which, of course, I looked through, but, you know, I really couldn't try because, you know, I'm poor and don't have anything that runs OS X yet. And then there's a chapter on games.
Okay.
Like, there's all of these, you know, they build all these little fun games, like Guess the Word games and Hangman games, and it's all written in shell scripts. And it's, you know, some really fun and interesting stuff. And as far as the scripts in there and the information isn't presented in too much of a technical manner. Like, you know, it's not all techno-speak all the way through, so you can actually read through the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some English content, you know. The scripts themselves are well documented, and he'll go to, you know, explaining what goes on in the scripts after you read through them. You can hit his you don't even have to type the damn scripts in. You can hit the guy's website and download them, and they're all there plus some extras.
Hmm.
you know, that you can look through. And it's a really good book, and I highly advocate, you know, if you're into doing any shell scripting at all, and if you have a Unix machine somewhere that you have access to, you need to learn how to shell script. But if you do any of this shell scripting at all, have any interest whatsoever, this is a book to pick up because it's a lot of fun subject matter to go through and nothing real wordy and too technical and just the kind of thing that gets you started on the wonderful world of shell scripting.
Cool.
But I'm bummed.
Yeah. That's what I need. Because I really got to bone up my shell scripting.
It's a cool book, man.
Because I'm a shell scripting retard.
And on that note, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is for you shell scripters out there, or you people who need to be shell scripters, like I said, you run a Linux box, you need to learn how to shell script. Because not everything is, in the wonderful world of
GUI.
Yeah, that's right. Not everything is in the wonderful world of GUI. And the most powerful things that you can do under Linux and Unix, you must do under the command line. So don't be afraid. This is what I say to you. And if you are running Unix or any of these new BSD, any free or open BSDs that we have, free BSD, open BSD, net BSD, Pico BSD, whatever the hell BSD they got going on. If you run any of that stuff or even any of the other Unixin that they have out at the time, Irix, Solaris, HPUX, SCO, what have you, do yourself a favor and get yourself Bash. This is a shell, the born-again shell. Get this shell. It's GNU Bash. You can find it on the web if you're interested. Get that. Make sure it's installed on your Unix box, and then run right over to Freshmeat, freshmeat.net, and search for the Advanced Bash Scripting Guide. Now I'm gonna copy this link that I have onto our chat log so you can find it. There's no way I'm reading this thing on the air because it's got like question marks and every other and ampersands and crap in it, so it's not gonna work. But go over to Freshmeat and find this thing and check it out. I love this Advanced Bash Scripting Guide. I keep downloading it every time they come out with a new version or they update it a little bit, because it's very, very good and very explanatory, and it would be like the perfect thing to go along with this Wicked Cool Shell Scripts book. So just go check it out and, get the power of Bash on your machine.
The power of Bash.
Power of Bash.
Power of Bash.
Some good stuff, man. I'm going to put the link in right there. Hopefully, maybe. Woo! And there it is. It's on the chat thing. We're good. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Not dun, too dun, small dun. The one.
Yeah, it's pretty lengthy, man. But and other than that, I wanted to talk about some. You know, I've been reviewing my website and my websites, quote unquote, lately, and I wanted to know, I wanted to ask everybody's opinion, what kind of things make a website good? You know, I'm just not happy with my website. It's a little too plain for me. I have some dynamic content on there, but it's, what I did was I whipped up some news aggregation scripts that suck, Unix and Linuxy kind of news from different places and slap them on the page. There's nothing really personable about it anymore, and I really would like to fix that, but I need to change the look slightly as well, because I think it's just a little bit too plain or maybe not coordinated enough for me. I'm not, can't put my finger on it yet. And I want to work on it a little bit. I want to do some a little bit better content, maybe some personal content, or at least some original content, right? And then something to get that professional look and feel.
Well, I've always hit your site for the news stuff on the front page.
Yeah, well, I want to keep that on there. I thought of maybe if I could get some original content and put that in the middle where the news aggregate is now, and like take the news and slap it down one of the sides, you know, shrink the text up a little bit and run it down a side panel. But I'm not just sure. I want to do something. I just don't know exactly what it is, and I'm kind of looking for advice and suggestions and hints and tips on, what kind of things make a website interesting, visually appealing, make you want to come back and visit them. What makes them look professional? Because I don't want to have one of these stupid little kiddie websites either. You know what I mean? I've been doing this for a long time, and I just want to have something nice.
Slap your homepage there onto the...
This is not something that's on like tripod, right? This is I want a professional kind of nice looking website. And so that's what I'm looking for. Other than that, the floor is open. I see that Patrick is on IRC right now, and he would like to know about Linux on PPC.
Yellow Dog.
I agree. Yellow Dog it is. Specifically, I think he's been looking into getting some, getting a bang-up kind of PPC. He's talking about G5 and stuff.
Up at the beginning of the chat room there, he's been hanging out at the Apple store.
Yeah, he's talking about G5s and stuff. Now, I have not actually talked to anybody physically who has run Linux on a G5 yet.
I don't know anybody running a G5.
Oh, I got a lot of friends that run G5s and... One of the, the rich tech workers. I don't know how they get the money, because I sure don't have it. But I understand. I have a lot of people I know that run Linux, Yellow Dog specifically, on G4s. Some really nice high-end G4s, and they really love this stuff. There's a lot of other people I know that run Debian and Gentoo and Mandrake and SUSE. However, I have more often than not heard complaints about Mandrake and SUSE on PPC. And it's for those of you like layman people who don't know what PPC is, this is the Power PC architecture that's put out by Apple and by IBM, as a matter of fact, at this point in time. But I've heard several complaints
SUSE
and Mandrake. The reason that SUSE gets a lot of complaints is because their PPC port is getting really old now, and for some reason people are just having a hard time getting Mandrake stuff to work. Par for the course. the Gentoo stuff I really couldn't tell you about because I have still not tried Gentoo on anything yet. However, you will notice that if you look around on the news list and things like that, and you see the Gentoo user crowd going on, they are like vehemently fanatical about this thing. They'll tell you, scream up and down, jump up and down, and tell you how wonderful Gentoo is, and I'm sure they're right. However, I will not find out anytime soon because I have a life and cannot wait 14 days to get my damn kernel to compile. Or to get my software to compile. Now, I do understand, I'm just picking on you, because I understand that they have the different CDs out with the different, the different starter packs, kind of. And some of them come with just the source and a compiler, and you have to compile every damn thing, and some of them come with a little bit more, and some of them come with, like, a whole operating system, but you still, extra software
stuff,
you can
compile.
That still is just, that's
too much work.
More than I want to invest of myself right now. I will eventually try this Gentoo people. So please don't think that I'm putting you down, because I think, as a Slackware user myself, I think that this whole compiling your own software thing on Gentoo is a really fantastic idea. I just haven't, had the time to play with it yet. But as far as, the PPC runs and stuff like that, all over and up and down again and again and again, I hear there are two major distributions that you want to check out for your PPC enabled computer, your Macintosh or IBM or what have you. One of them is Debian, and one of them is Yellow Dog. Yellow Dog is based, at least initially, upon Red Hat, was based upon Red Hat quite some time ago, and still has pretty close ties. It also has some, excuse me, it has some Debian kind of software management utilities and things like that.
Well, you have Yum in there.
Yeah, you have Yum, you have apt-get, you have Yellow Dog Updater, there's all kinds of stuff, and RPMs too.
RPMs, yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff in there, and you can pretty much choose the way you want to do things. The distribution itself is set up pretty close to like your average kind of Red Hat-y sort of distribution. Once you get everything up and running, that's pretty much where everything is. You know what I mean? It's kind of like follows the Red Hat format. Runs really, really well. I have run Yellow Dog on a few Macs now. I really like it. I think it's a highly polished product. They are doing a bang-up job trying to do this. Their main focus of this distribution is for the PPC. Like, Yellow Dog does not put out an x86 version of, you know, their Linux. They do this for the PPC. It's specifically done for that. And it shows. You know what I mean? It really does. It shows it in the polish in the presentation. And not to mention that they're a supporter of the LVLUG, which always gets you bonus kicker points. Debian, on the other hand, a lot of people will, you know, especially the Debian people, you know who you are, will, you know, they're fanatical about running Debian on everything. Oh, you have to run Debian and I can understand where Debian might be a really good option on the PPC if perhaps you were running a server or something like that. You know what I mean? Something where you could really slim it down. Yeah. I know.
I mean, it works very nicely.
I know it works, but I mean, you could really slim that down to run a server on, right?
Oh, yeah.
PPC. That would be the thing to do. My problem with running Debian on a PPC as a workstation is trying to get the damn X running.
It is. Yeah. I have it on that little Mac laptop that I have.
Man.
It's a PowerBook 3400 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I put Debian on there, and it does work, and it works very nicely. The biggest problem I had with it was the install. It was just all the information's there in the manual. It's
right.
Just not in any sort of
not in any
easily readable. You sort of have to look for all the information to get it installed. And once it's installed, it's very nice. And you sort of remember, you know, when you go have to do it a second time, you sort of remember it. So it's not quite as bad the second time through.
Oh, I had a horrible time trying to get any kind of a GUI, anything running under Debian PPC. Now, I did get it installed, and after... originally, I really had a problem with the installation. Now, after I have done a couple of more Debian installs, I can look back at it. Yeah, I can look back at it and say, "Oh, that's what the hell they were talking about." So it is possible, you know what I mean, to get it on there. And you know, in all reality, if you have ever done a Debian install before, it's pretty much the same kind of trip. Getting it on PPC with you know, a couple extras. Like, you got to have the bootloader thing. And
you need so to get the BootX running.
Yeah, you can BootX running so you can get in and do your partition thing. There's that little Mac PPC thing you got to get going on the front end of it to get. Unless, of course, it's a new world computer Mac. You just chuck the disk in and you're off like a charm. I understand.
I looked out with the X configuration for me,
mm-hmm.
is I found someone who had done it already on the particular Mac, the laptop that I had.
Oh, so you just copied the X86
configuration.
Yeah, there you go.
I got it easy because the configurator, I guess that's close enough to the word I'm looking for, that's built into Debian had absolutely no clue how to configure the laptop
one. Right.
It's like, you know, obviously, you know, it's a Mac, so it's a little bit weirder than everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the software, the hardware that's in there, just would not be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily I found someone who had already done it first, and he had found it from somewhere else. He was nice enough to post his config files up there. So that did help me out a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise I would have never gotten the X running on that.
Yeah. I think that's the worst part about getting that is getting that any kind of a GUI thing running on, you know, running off of Debian.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow Dog, for the most part, it pops right up with the GUI, and it does the, you know, like the Red Hat GUI install thing?
Anaconda, I think.
Yes. And it just, you know, it rolls right on through like thunder, and all you got to do is just keep up with it a little bit, and it's done. Just like anything else, though, you know, if you go into this thing thinking you want to be able to have all the control and select all your freaking packages individually, expect a lengthy install. Me? Make sure I have a disk. That's right, man. Make sure you've got a disk big enough to hold it.
That was my only problem.
Pick the default install and let it go.
The machine I picked up over the weekend at the Hamfest, which you twisted my arm into getting.
Oh, yeah, I twisted pretty hard on that one.
Actually, we lucked out. They had 144 megs of memory.
That's awesome, because I know the one that you were talking about, the guy that took the one.
That only had 64.
Yeah, like, you know, I want to. Did they have 64? It might only have 40-something in it.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. And I lucked out today because I dumped another 256 into it from another Mac that I had floating around the house that I decided not to use. So now it's sitting with 400. And actually, even in Mac 8 is what I have on it right now.
Yeah.
And even that runs very nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, you know, if I could find
400 megs of RAM, man? Oh, heck yeah.
If I could find a decent browser for that one that would fit into the limited amount of space I have left there. I'd actually use that a little bit more often. But that was my biggest problem because it only had a 2-gig drive. The other one had a bigger drive.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, keep trimming it down. I reformatted it a couple times, you know, to get as small of an OS 8 that I could in there. And then I finally got it in. But, I mean, it was fired up the first time. It was nice.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. I still have to find some room so I can dig out my 250 that I have and my 8600 250, so I can put the new version of Yellow Dog on that and play a little bit. And I of course want to get a USB PCI card for it because I really, really hate that one button Apple mouse thing, and I'm totally and completely addicted to the new mice that they have out now.
Oh, the optical ones.
Yeah, optical. That's what I'm looking for. Man, you know, do you ever have one of them days where your brain just, you know, gets up and leaves where you're not paying attention? That's what it is. Yeah, the new optical. I really want to get like a USB optical mouse because I used to use an old G3 that I used to use. I used to use the Apple mouse with that, ADB.
One button.
Yes, one button. And if you want to use that, like you want to use the extra features, you got to like press F11 or F12 to simulate the other two
12,
buttons.
Yeah.
And that, my friend, is a gigantic pain in the you-know-where. And I'm not doing that again. That's why I'm specifically going to dig out my PCI-based Mac, and I'm going to put a damn USB card in it so that I can use a USB mouse and be happy about it. But at that end, we are, gentlemen, out of time. Does anybody have any concluding thoughts they would like to share? Yes, no, maybe?
Not really.
Been kind of quiet there tonight, Dan.
He has been.
I'm just trying to push through this damn mailman crap.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, folks.
Well, yeah,
that's the end of the show that we have for you tonight. On our Wednesday, March 17th. Yes, Yeah, I can't even find the date on my I can't even find the date on my laptop anymore. Yeah, Wednesday, March 17th, 2004. This is, boy, does anybody know what number show this is that we've done so far?
183.
Yeah, something like that. It's been quite a few, and I haven't really even been paying attention. But at any rate, thanks for listening. Make sure you stop back in next week, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check us out. And, you know, hey, for all you guys that didn't come and hang out with us on the IRC tonight, please come and hang out with us next week. We missed you. Only a couple people talking. And for those of you who are listening or who are going to listen to this show after the live broadcast, make sure you also pick up the chat logs, because that's where we stuck all of our links and useful information. And that's it for me. I'm Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Talk to you next time.
Pulling up Link Tech Show. Pulling up Link Tech Show.